Hey everybody, and welcome to a very special episode of the Ask a Cycling Coach podcast presented by Trainer Road. As you can tell, we're not in our studio. We are actually in the, well, I'll let you introduce where we are, Pete. But we have a special guest with us, and we are with Team Cliff Bar Racing. So I'll start on this side, and we'll introduce, and we've actually placed the twins on opposing sides of the table so you can keep track of them. First things first, Connor Mullervy, how you doing?
Good, great.
I think both of you guys have been on the podcast before, is that correct?
Yep, we have.
Yeah, I was on last year for the first time.
Awesome. And then have you been on twice, Kevin?
I think only once.
Only once.
A year before him.
There we are.
Yeah.
Now we get both twins at the same time. So
double trouble.
You guys are really known for breakaways, I would say, at least from my perspective.
Yeah, sure.
If there's a USA Crits race, there's a Mullervy in the breakaway, like always. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight is breakaways.
Those are our favorite.
Yeah, there we are. So I'm glad you guys are here for that. Pete, can you introduce yourself briefly?
Hey, guys. I'm Pete. I work at Trainer Road also. I'm a product manager, and I'm on Team Cliff Bar. And so I get to hang out with these guys. Especially this weekend.
It's a good group. And then over here on this side, Joe, would you mind introducing yourself?
Absolutely. I'm Joe Lewis. I am a rider on Team Cliff Bar. And on the side, I do some coaching and teach spin classes.
So if you guys have watched like domestic races in the U.S., that sort of stuff, I'm sure you've heard of Joe. I know I've seen you race plenty and seen you take some pretty heroic efforts. And
Sprint jersey at the U.S. Pro Challenge?
Yeah. Boom. Yeah, pretty awesome. So you've raced for plenty of teams in the past. Run through a few of the teams, I guess, that you've raced for most recently.
All right. So I spent the last 6 years with Holowesco Citadel, the Hincapie team. Mm. And before that, I was with Livestrong and then Draypack, who don't exist anymore, but you probably remember them as an Australian team.
For sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. And you are indeed Australian. Do you live in the US?
I do. Yeah. I live in Boulder with my wife.
Sweet. Okay. Cool. High elevation guy. Mm-hmm. And Kevin, go ahead and introduce yourself really quickly.
Yep. Kevin Mullervy, Ginger One.
Better looking twin.
So we're going to talk about breakaways. First things first, though, setting the scene. Pete, mm-hmm. Where are we right now?
We're in Pope Valley in Napa. It's where our team camp is. We're pretty fortunate that Cliff Bar allows us to use one of their properties for team camp. So I think all 18 of us sleep here or close enough to throw something at. But it's pretty cozy, but we have lots of fun, and we're here for 5 days, all said and done. We spent the first day at Cliff Bar headquarters in Emeryville. But now it's just riding and hanging out and doing podcasts and things like that.
Yeah, and we've called this team camp before, not a training camp, but team camp, because this is where you guys are getting bikes, you're getting kit, you're getting to know each other. Joe, you're new on the team this year, mm-hmm. So like new riders are coming in, getting to understand the team, the whole thing. It's a great time, but it's also extremely hard. I got spat out the back hard today, so on a ride. let's get into breakaways, just jump straight into it. So I think, first of all, defining a breakaway, Joe, can you give us basically what a breakaway is if people don't know?
It's a group of riders that are separated off the front of the peloton. So they've broken away from a bunch.
Yeah, yeah. This is common to see in all sorts of road racing. The interesting thing is if a separation happens, in other words, would you guys not call it a breakaway if just simply like the pack kind of like, or people keep riding that are faster than you and then all the rest of you are slower and you just kind of fade off? What defines
happens.
A break?
That's happened before.
Yeah. It's usually at like the front of the race, obviously. Take for instance today, Pete and Kevin, we're just rolling steady where all of a sudden Pete comes by us a lot faster than us, goes off the front.
I wasn't even working very hard.
And Kevin bridges up to him. So now we got two guys in front of the peloton, in the front of the group, in front of the team. And then we're just sitting on the front and I was like, this gap's getting bigger and bigger. And so we pick up the pace and it was like, they're still out there. So then we ended up having to go single file to try to catch these guys that had now 10 seconds on us. So
happy to hear that.
Yeah, that was, we were working hard. So at least it felt like we were doing something.
So it's something that it's like you're taking initiative as a racer to get away from the field, right? That's what a break. That's like a crucial part of a breakaway, you'd say.
Mm-hmm.
So when do you choose to break away? I guess that's a very loaded question because there's plenty of different things, but is there a specific time where you really look like, yeah, I like to start a breakaway at this point whether it's something happens in the race or relatively speaking to the beginning or end of the race?
Yeah, I mean, ideally, like, I want to make the breakaway at the hardest possible time, like during the race, like when it's single file and like super, super strung out and super hard, like the last thing someone wants to do is attack, right?
Yeah.
Make it even harder. So if you're hurting, everyone else is hurting. And I feel like that's the time to hit it. And like, people just get demoralized if like you're hurting and then someone attacks and goes faster. It's just like, oh God.
How do you do that though? Because like, I'm usually the guy that's in the single file line just dying. What do you guys do? Or are there any tricks or any specific tips that you could give to somebody in that single file situation to come around everyone?
I mean, especially if there's another breakaway up the road and everyone's single file to try to bring back the breakaway. Everyone seems to get like excited and calm down when the breakaway is coming back. So they're like, oh, like it eases up just a little bit. So then you have that momentum. People usually slow down, but if you keep that momentum, you can get off the front easier when a breakaway is getting brought back. So
you just try to carry momentum through.
Yeah, and I would say the other thing is make someone else do the hard work of getting the breakaway started or chasing back the breakaway. If you can not do the initial part of the breakaway, all the better, right? That's the hardest part. Yeah. That's where all the energy happens.
Ideally, you want to be like second or third guy.
Yeah, follow the wheels instead of like making the break. But I mean, if you are that super strong guy, then go for it. Someone's got to do it. Yeah. But it's that initial gap that you really need to get.
If you're looking for that, like, are you looking throughout the race for the sort of rider that looks eager that would make that sort of move, and are you looking to attach to their wheel? Or are you verbally encouraging somebody to make that move? Like, how do you try to not be the first person to make that move?
I think it's paying attention, right? Like, if you're keeping your eye on everybody who's racing, you kind of know there's usually people who like to ride breakaways and people who don't like to ride breakaways. So if you pay attention to the people who do like to ride breakaways and paying attention to what they're doing, you have a better chance of jumping on and following wheels and getting the free ride or the least lighter ride.
Mm. So I guess that kind of covers like the when you would want to break. When are bad times to break away?
First lap.
Yeah, from the gun. Yeah. Don't do that.
When you're going as fast as you can and you can't really like go that much faster. If the bunch is doing 60 and you're doing 62 like kilometers, kilometers. I'm a metric guy, but you're not going to get a very big gap. You're going to get a few meters off the front and then you're going to run out of energy because you got to go too hard and it's not sustainable.
So is there something, how do you manage that going too hard or not too hard?
Kevin, you should take this one.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, all of us have power meters. So, and we all know what our threshold is.
Mm.
So we know when we get a gap, we only can keep it at a certain wattage for so long before we blow.
Right.
So everyone here knows exactly what they can hold it at for how long. So, I mean, you're going to be on the line just like right there on the edge to keep it going. But I'd say that's the biggest thing is power meter. But a lot of the races we do are at twilight. So maybe we don't have the backlight on. But I think we're all like seasoned at these races. So we know by feel, I think, how hard we can go and for how long.
So it's really, yeah, like, I assume you guys aren't saying, like, I know that if I initiate a breakaway, I can only ride at 600 watts or something like that. Or do you ever use that sort of a thing to keep a track? Or is it really, you're going off feel, right?
Yeah, with that breakaway we were in today,
yes.
That's the same thing. It was the same thing. We were just rotating through, and it got progressively harder and harder until you're kind of riding that edge. And you know that if you do anything extra, you won't be in the breakaway anymore. And so it's you kind of get closer and closer to your limit and then ride the limit. And that's kind of the key is as long as you're staying just behind where you can sustain that power. But it should be pretty much as hard as you can go if you want a chance of success.
So one of the problems that I have is that I'll initiate a break and I'll go and I just push, it seems like too hard. Then I get into a situation where whether I'm trying to bridge up to riders up the road or I've initiated something and I'm solo or there's somebody else on my wheel, I just can't push too hard. I mean, do you guys still make that mistake or is that just an amateur deal?
No, yeah, I mean, like, definitely.
Okay. Well,
you're in the moment and you're just getting excited and you're like, you're in the breakaway, right? I mean, that's where we want to be. So, like, take for example today, after we caught these guys, then three of us went over to the top of them and made another breakaway. And so we were all rotating really well. And then, like, I was hurting, like, really, really hurting. So, like, you also want to look around and see where the field is. So, like, just when I rotated off, I turned around and I see the rest of the guys about 10 seconds back, but they're all rotating really hard. I was like, we're not going to stay away from them. So I sat up and went back. The other two just killed themselves, and then, then we caught them, what, a mile later. So, I mean, then I was fresh to go hard over the top of them again. So
it still happens at your guys' level.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I blow myself out the back a lot.
Is there anything that you guys do to, like, how do you measure that, or how do you avoid that in a race situation? How do you make sure that you don't go too hard like that? I mean, we talked about not using power limits and kind of listening to your body, but is there anything that you've done to govern that?
It's really just a judgment of perceived exertion. But I mean, you can definitely play games with the people that you're in the breakaway with, pretend that you're hurting, pretend that you can't pull through as fast as maybe you should. And really concentrate on, you know, not going over that limit.
Yeah. So when we talk about breakaways, they can be solo moves, or you can have other riders with you. I assume that you guys always want to have other people with you rather than solo.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, likes a solo move.
Yeah.
Because I see a lot of people just initiate a solo move, and then they're stuck out there on their own. And people let them dangle, and then they end up cooking themselves, something like that.
Yeah, a solo move is a sure way not to win, pretty much.
You're really running thin odds, right?
But it could be the start of a good breakaway.
Yeah.
If you are, I mean, one of the hardest parts is actually getting off the front to start with and being able to get that initial gap. So if you are up the road and a group of three or four come up to you, then you could have a race-winning breakaway. But if you're out there for 5 laps, 10 laps, and no one's coming up and the field's just sitting right at that same gap, it's probably time to go back, call it.
And stop crushing yourself.
Yeah.
At that time, do you just stop pedaling and coast your way through, or just soft pedal really softly, or are you still trying to look like you're trying? What are you guys looking to do when you basically throw the white flag like that?
I think you want to keep soft pedaling just in case someone jumps across. But like Connor said earlier, like, you have to be aware of where the peloton is, because if you just start soft pedaling and not looking around, they're going to blow right by you. So you got to be ready and keep looking behind you to see where they're at, so you can accelerate again to stay at the front of the race. Because you don't want to go off the front to the back of the race and try to make yourself back to the front. Like, you got to accelerate once they come by or are coming towards you.
Yeah, take advantage of that position you won't find yourself in, right?
Yeah, up the front.
Yeah.
Right. When you guys launch an attack like that, is there anything that you do to kind of sell your attack to make it more enticing? I know Pete dubbed it. He got a term.
Hot as I can.
Yeah, he called it peacocking.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. We were talking about it last week. But yeah, the idea is you make yourself look attractive to other people to come along and join the breakaway with you.
Oh, he looks strong.
Yeah, he looks like he's gonna
drag me to the finish
for sure.
Is there anything that you guys do to try to sell a move or like entice other people to come with you?
I mean, I think also, like, we do talk to each other during the race. Like, even other teams, like, you want to talk to another strong team there that has a full team that's not going to chase it back. But you want to talk to a dude that you feel like you're going to beat if it comes down to a sprint, right? Yeah. I'm not going to go up to Joe and be like, oh, let's go if he was on a different team, because he's going to beat me in a sprint 10 out of 10 times, right?
Right. Right.
Nine out of 10. 100%. This is a lot of pressure. But, the team dynamics are definitely go into it. If you're in a breakaway of four people and there's another major team in the race and they don't have someone in that move and they have a sprinter back in the bunch, chances are they're going to be working together and they'll bring that break back. They'll control the race and bring it back right at that time. A couple laps ago, you're going to have nothing left. So you kind of got to look at who you're with, know the field, and know who the main guys are on the teams. Yeah, knowing your competition is huge.
So in an ideal scenario, do you have this is probably too much of a general term, but like equal representation of strong teams with you in a break? Would that be more ideal?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, if you find yourself in a breakaway with some team or person you've never recognized before, never seen at a race, like, I'm not going to be too confident, like, that we're going to stay away, right? So yeah. If you see, if you're up there with another big USA crit team or something like that, or if we have two and number, it's, yeah, it turns into a numbers game too. Numbers game and like team wise, but yeah, you're definitely looking for someone that you recognize and know that can help you go to the finish line.
There's like the same guy winning the last three local races off the front yeah. with two other guys, and he attacks and he has two other guys with him. Like, that's a great opportunity. Right. You have a pretty good chance of like joining that success rate. So you could just pay attention all the time in the recent races, who's doing, how they're winning the races and what they're doing, and kind of play off that a little more too.
So let's talk about what you do once you get into the break. A lot of people, you know, you get into a breakaway, and I assume the ideal scenario is where everybody shares the work evenly. Is that common or is that uncommon, where you find yourself in a break and people actually do share evenly?
Yeah, I think it's a roll of the dice there. Who's in the breakaway? But like Connor was just saying, if there's a guy in the race that you don't recognize and maybe that's not on a big team, you can encourage him to work more.
Like, yeah, yeah. Come on, buddy.
Yeah, let's go, buddy. Let's go. And like, you can ease up a little and he'll be super motivated because he's in the breakaway at a big race, right? Mm. And a bigger team is telling him like, yeah, man, you're doing great.
So that's verbal stuff, yeah, that you're actually encouraging them.
But definitely don't underestimate.
No.
I did that at Anniston last year. I took this. He was another Australian kid, Lachlan. I took him to the line, and he smoked me.
Yeah, yeah.
I was trying to get up to the people racing for third because I had a teammate up there with Dan Holloway, yeah. And so I didn't think he could beat Dan in the sprint, but they'd made a deal that I didn't know about because I was still a half lap behind them. But I dragged this kid around and he smashed me in the finish.
I mean
he was pretending, he punked me, you know, like he did exactly what I've done to people in the past, and he totally like rope-a-doped me.
What are the I guess non-verbal moves that you would do to influence a breakaway? So let's like set the scene of you've got somebody in the break and they aren't working hard enough. What's the sort of thing that you would do to try to, I assume you want to get them out of the breakaway, sure. If they're not contributing?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you do to
without
get them out?
Without verbal?
Yeah, yeah, non-verbal.
Yeah, I mean, like...
And not punching.
Right? Yeah, sure. I mean, then that gets really frustrating. But when you're coming off the bat or coming off your pole and going towards the back, like maybe like drift because he's going to try to stay behind you, right? Like open up a gap kind of maybe going into a corner or something, maybe like hit your brakes a little bit or rub up next to him or something like that. I mean, it's at that point, I'd be verbal. I mean,
yeah,
that's yeah. It's gonna be hard to, but yeah, I mean, especially if you have another teammate in that break, and there's also someone not working, it's easy to have one of your guys like come off and try to bring that guy off the back, right?
Okay.
So you slot in, and that dude's right behind you. Maybe you open up a gap, and like I'm happy because I have a dude up there, right?
Yeah.
And so then he has to spend the energy to come around and close that, and you just keep doing that over and over again.
You take a free ride on his wheel. It's almost like your own little rotating baseline on the baseline.
So
I feel like you also have to let him know that you're willing to go back to the field.
Yeah.
Like if he's not going to pull, it's like, oh, I'm gonna stop pulling as well. I have five teammates back here ready to go on the next attack, and he might be by himself or have a small team. So it's like, I'm not going to pull you to the line. Like, I'm going to sit up. So then he's going to sit up and we're going to go back to the field. And it's definitely a gamble. But once he realizes that, oh, like you're not 100% invested, like maybe he'll start working then if you're like going to tell him we're going back to the field.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you're just always trying to improve your chances of winning the race.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking for that best case scenario. And if you've got someone sitting on the back, not doing any work and you're dragging them around, they might beat you in the finish because they're fresher. So you don't want to do that.
And it can be anything from like sitting, saying like they're eating or give me a lap or two and just paying attention to what everybody's doing. When you watch the people are like skipping pulls or taking short pulls or opting out a little more often, like that should click something over in your mind and be like, pay attention to that person. Like they're going to, something is going on. They don't do this. Either they're going about to get dropped or they're going to do something. So paying attention to everybody else in the breakaway is super important.
So it's even worth I guess, expending some resources that you would have in terms of energy or another teammate, that sort of a thing, just to recompose or reset the composition of your breakaway.
Mm-hmm. Then. Yeah, paying attention to them is huge. And also, you know, knowing whether they're pretending or not. You know,
How do you figure that out?
Well,
it's tricky, right?
You got to know them and just make a judgment call, because I do that a lot. I pretend that I'm hurting a lot more than I often am.
I was just pretending today, actually.
And people think, oh, he's tired. Yeah, he's not going to do anything. And so they will, you know, they will pull harder or give you that little bit of time to recover so that you can contribute. But yeah, after a while you kind of got to realize whether they're pretending or not.
Like obviously the other side of the situation, if someone's sitting on, that could mean something's happening in the race behind. Say a guy's sitting on, that could mean one of his teammates is coming across, so like you also have to pay attention to that. Or if they're like a bigger team that probably has one of the fastest sprinters in the field, say, that's back in the field, and his job is just to make that breakaway not work just in case it makes it to the line so he can sprint and win.
Like, but barnacle.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, yeah,
you're but saving also, race. Yeah, also disrupt it.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. Yeah, yeah.
Because their best chance at winning the race is the sprint.
Mm. It takes so little work to disrupt a break, right? Like, that's the crazy part, is one person can just barely mess it up and it ruins the chance of success. Sure. Mm-hmm. So that's the important part, is for a break to win, it has to be pretty perfectly functioning.
How do you decide the pace, or I should say not the pace, but how do you decide the strength or intensity of the poles you're taking? Because, I mean, it frustrates me whenever I'm in a break and then I have somebody who's just taking hero poles, who is like prioritizing their own, you know, efforts or their ability to put out amazing watts versus the group. When you come across that, is that do you look to keep it steady?
I love it when people do that. I love hero poles. Like, this guy is just dragging me further and further away from the field, and he's destroying himself.
So like, you're okay awesome. With it?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people get too excited when they get in the breakaway. Sure. Oh, I'm in the breakaway, because it is hard to make the breakaway.
Yeah,
you're gonna miss it more often than you're gonna. Well. Except for you two.
You guys
manage to make it every single race.
Yeah.
Normally, you know, you try, and some of the time you make it, but most of the time, yeah, it doesn't work out.
And the pace shifts over the course of the breakaway. Yeah. So at the first 5 or 10 minutes of the breakaway is super important to go as hard as you pretty much can, and then it's slowly dialing it back to win. But to that first 5 or 10 minutes is so important to go pretty much everybody's going as hard as they can to create the separation that's required to then be able to play the breakaway game.
So how far is enough? I assume it varies per course. Yeah. Like, how big of a gap do you guys want? Is it just simply out of sight, or
out of sight's the best, but
it depends on the course.
Yeah, it totally does.
So let's give an example of like a flat four corner crit that's like a pretty straightforward thing that a person's racing. Like
Boise Twilight. You want to be out of sight.
Yeah,
race.
At least a straight.
Yeah,
at least a straight away.
Straight is 30 seconds, probably.
Yeah.
In which, what course would require less of a, or would require you to perhaps not be out of sight? Would it be because it has more challenging features on it, or what would cause that?
Or rain.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, super technical courses, or the ones that are kind of half climb, half descent. You need a little less to work with. Hmm. I don't know, Kevin seems to make it happen on all the courses, so.
It really depends, actually, on the difficulty of the race. If it's harder, you need less distance. If it's easier, you need more, because the peloton will be incentivized if they can see you. Because if you're a straightaway away in a crit, someone could try and get across. They can see you. They're going to go, oh, that's the breakaway. I've got to get in that. And they're going to go. And then someone might be on their wheel. All of a sudden, you've lost 15 seconds. But if you're out of sight, no one's going to go, oh, I'm going to jump across to the breakaway by myself.
Yeah, right into infinity and hope it works out.
Well, exactly. You're going to just get 10 meters off the front and then blow up. But if you've got a goal and you can see where you want to be, you got a better chance of getting there.
That's a really good point that I actually haven't thought of before, was like, it depends on the intensity of the race, right? because if there's more potential energy in that field, you want to make sure that, you know, you can get further away. So then it's going to be tougher once those people can actually expend their resources. That's a good takeaway, Joe. Way to go. Yeah, A plus. So let's say you're in the breakaway. And many times you'll be in a break of six people, something like that. And you break away. Two people will break away from that, right? Mm. Or one person will break away from that. Is there a certain thing that happens in a breakaway scenario where you feel like you need to get away from it, or you want to get away from it? Or is it more just down to like it's a certain point in the race?
Well, yeah, then it gets to the point like if dudes aren't working, obviously you want to get away from those guys. Or if say there's two super strong sprinters in that breakaway, I don't want to go to the line with them, right? Mm. So if I can outpower them, say if there's a little climb or something on the course, like that, me and maybe two or three guys can break away from the breakaway.
Break away from the breakaway, because the peloton often doesn't know what is happening up there, especially if you're out of sight, and they see a couple of guys up there and they think, oh, that's a bunch, but all of a sudden they catch them back and someone else is 30 seconds off the front they didn't know about. So you've got that, the longer they don't know that you're getting away from that breakaway, the better, you know. If you're going fast when they're going slow, your gap's going to go out.
Sure.
Yeah, and confusion for sure, right? Like, more confusion is better for the breakaway.
Absolutely. Let's cover when you actually lap the field as a breakaway, which is a great thing, right? If that happens.
Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah, it's not always.
Depends who you are.
I'd rather not lap the field, because if you have a small group lapping the field, say six guys like we were talking about, you lap the field and you have big teams that were in that breakaway, then all of a sudden they have five teammates to help them. Right. And if you're not a sprinter, it's like restarting the whole race. And the whole reason I got into the breakaway was not to sprint.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
And it happened to you at Athens Twilight this year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I did not want to lap the field, but.
Well, you had you had Murphy with you.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a better chance one on one with Murphy than you do against the whole team. Right?
Yeah, because you had two Hincappy guys in that breakaway, and I knew I could probably beat Gomi because he was helping Murphy.
Yeah.
And I did not. But that's when I start sitting on, when those guys want to lap the field, and it's like, no, I don't want to lap the field because now I'm going to lose for sure. So I start sitting on, but they're still super motivated, so they're going to pull you through. And then hopefully your teammate's sitting at the back of the field. They know you're coming, try to bring you back, or you follow the big team straight back to the front. Like, you have to get to the front of the race again.
Yeah, they're going to get up there, and they're going to start to drive it because they're in an advantageous position.
And I think one of the underrated things that Kevin said is, if your teammate is at the back of the field waiting for you, you get the silver platter treatment back to the front of the race with no work, and that totally changes the dynamic. And that's the thing that probably most regular racers don't do, is getting that help back through the field, because getting through the field is the hard part. And so if you have a teammate to actually bring you through and do all the work and get you back in the right position to keep racing again, like, hopefully then you get to reset the race. But
so if you do reach the pack again in that scenario, are you looking to get to the front of the race
right away?
As soon as possible, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't lose those people that you
You got to remember numbers. You got in here six guys, and then you have 150. So when you're in that breakaway, you have to look at everyone's numbers. And because then it gets confusing, and it's like you have to tell your teammates too, like, because some guys will lap the field and attack again, or their teammate will attack. And you're like, don't worry about that guy because he wasn't in the breakaway. Or if he was, your teammates have to know who's who, because they don't know who is in the breakaway with you. Mm-hmm. They may know the teams, but not the numbers. So you have to be very aware of who you're lapping.
A lot of verbal communication.
Yeah. The more information that you can have, the better. That's why I think like radios are going to really start taking off in crits, right? You guys use them.
Can amateurs use radios?
Yeah, now they can.
I feel like I'm nowhere near organized enough with anybody. First of all, I usually race alone anyway, but yeah, that would be interesting. So breakaways, a ton of people, we all see them. It's kind of seen as like a hero move. It's an exciting sort of thing. What do us average Joes do in a breakaway scenario that you feel like is a common mistake that you wish you could tell us to improve?
Pulling too hard. You want to pull as you want to pull as strong as the weakest rider in the break, if that makes sense. So you don't want to be that hero dude, like doing super, super strong pulls. Like if I notice someone's going super strong, I'm not going to try to match him or go harder, right?
Yeah.
If there's someone that's kind of like soft pedaling through, it almost seems like that's as hard as I want to go. Like I don't want to be the hero of the breakaway to get the breakaway to stay away. And then I got toasted in the sprint, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you just do as little work as possible almost.
You need those guys.
Sure.
I mean, there is a temporary truce amongst the breakaway riders. And so if you are coming through on a course that is really hard and you're pulling through too hard and you're gapping your riders, you're not going to solo. You're not going to solo it to the finish. You need these other people. And so if you've got a gap and you've, you know, blown them up, they're going to have to catch you. They're going to have to recover. And in that time, you've lost time to the breakaway. You want to keep it consistent. You want to keep the speed high. And you want to stay together until you know you're going to stay away to the finish.
I see this pretty much every, let's say 95% of every breakaway I've ever been in. The person who, there's one person in the break that pulls that instantly accelerates to pretty much as hard as they can go. And they don't roll onto the throttle. So mm-hmm. there's a thing where if you ease up to your speed, so you do like, you know, 300, 400, 500, 600, or whatever you're doing, whether it's 200, 300, 400, 200, 250, but roll into your pace and slowly wind up your effort. It's so hard when someone blasts past you, and everybody else in the break has to then expel energy to catch back up to the where you just attack the break pretty much.
Mm-hmm. So if you're super strong, it could be a strategy to perhaps disrupt things relative to your others mm-hmm. or to the other people. Or if you're hoping that if you're fit enough and you're not doing that, you're kind of hoping maybe somebody does that to disrupt it. But if you really want the breakaway to stay together, it's a bad move, right?
It's the worst. It really demoralizes everybody. So if there's
I'm demoralized now from the day.
Yes. So it demoralizes everybody. So it's pretty much ensuring the break is going to fail.
Yeah.
So like how many times have you guys said don't pull so hard to someone in the breakaway with
you? Oh, yeah.
It's all the time.
Yeah, easy.
Don't that's like the number one. Hmm. Don't pull so hard. Keep the speed steady, the speed high, but don't pull so hard.
I mean, if you feel incredible and you really want to rip it because you think you got a great chance, pull longer, not there harder.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, and that can be a good way to instruct somebody for sure. Anything else that you see us do with breakaways that you feel like it's a rookie mistake that you may commonly see?
Think about how, well, for the normal, the average Joe, you're going to win the race in one way.
Sorry,
not you, Joe.
Joe, by the way.
No worries.
For a regular person who's not or who's in a breakaway, you're going to. There's one way for you to win the race, probably in the highest chance of success.
Right.
So figure out what that is, and then try to sculpt the race to enhance your. Whether it's a sprint, whether it's a last lap attack, whether it's five to go, but you have to plan the race for you to win. Right? Like, that's always the goal.
That's really important because you might just see a breakaway, get super excited, chase a stick like a dog, go after the thing, and you're like, okay, I'm here, now what?
Yeah.
But not having anything, you know, a breakaway should be an intentional move to make something else possible, in other words, and you should know what that is.
Yeah, a lot of people settle, right? They're like, oh, I'm in the break. I'm guaranteed to get fourth or third or sixth or whatever. So, like, deep breath, I made it, we're going to be okay. But it's then you have to wrap your head around, well, how can I beat everybody that I'm with? And so coming up with a plan for some people, it's the 150 meter come around. For some people, it's the half a lap attack. But figure out what your best way to win the race is while you're in a breakaway.
Yeah, let's not forget, the objective is to win.
That's why we're here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd also say another maybe rookie mistake is like attacking, to try to get in a breakaway, attacking like midway down the straightaway. Like you want to attack like going into the corner or out of the corner where you have your acceleration where everyone else is braking. If you're attacking on a straightaway where everyone is going the same speed, you're not going to get that gap that you need.
Mm-hmm.
To get into the breakaway,
especially while everyone else is accelerating around you, right?
Totally.
Or over the top of a hill, you know. Mm-hmm. If you attack at the bottom, everyone's going to follow you up the hill. But if you can attack over the top and get up to speed before everyone else, you're going to get a bigger gap immediately.
Would you say also, like, if it's a super windy section, attacking into the wind, Or would you say that's a bad thing to do?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind attacking into the wind. I mean, you just gotta.
Oh, just, I don't like it. Headwind. I mean, if it's tailwind, if you can get up to speed. I mean, if you can get up to speed and get away, it's all about going
I like
fast.
The headwind and then you or crosswind, right? And you're on the opposite side, so no one's getting the draft, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And I'm just going full gas. So if you want to stay on my wheel, you're going as hard as I am, right? Or harder. So I like to use the wind. I mean, I feel like the tailwind, everyone gets that pleasure of the extra.
Everyone's excited.
I mean... And people are scared to attack into the wind because it's hard, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, I'll take advantage of the wind.
Okay. Yeah.
Headwind. So the real thing about a headwind is there has to be a big enough gap that another person has a headwind behind you, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So you need to, it's a lot of energy, but there needs to be enough energy for you to get a gap so that everybody else has a headwind again.
Yeah.
So that's the important part. If you're just drilling it into a headwind and someone's 4 feet behind you, I guarantee it's not working.
Right.
Even if it's 10 feet, it's not working.
They're going
if it's
a lot easier.
If it's 50 feet, maybe you can start like playing around with it and see if it's working. But yeah.
Is there any other ones that you see that we make mistakes with or a common mistake that you see in a breakaway?
I don't even follow this sometimes, but attacking in the first lap, few laps are, sometimes... at these USA crits, I'm not expecting to stay away for the whole race, right? So they say go. We get a front row call up, right? So
yeah.
They say go, and I'm clipped in already when some dudes are still clipped in, or not even clipped in, still sitting at the start line because the field's so big.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And
there's a Malovi already attacking. Yeah.
But then there's what? A $500 prem on the first lap, whatever. Yeah. So I'll just give it. Get that $500 for the team, and then we'll just go back, you know? Yeah, and if someone comes across...
If you got to move, boom, $500, and you've got a breakaway.
Yeah. So, then you got to pay attention to, like, who's... If someone's coming across, like these guys said, like, well, maybe this actually could turn into a breakaway, or if I'm just, you know, out there all by myself for two or three laps, it's like, well, I got the money, let's just go back.
I will say, I've been... screwed so many times by the first 15 second road race breakaway. I don't do that many road races, so it seems like a lot, but yeah. Three guys will attack in the first 15 seconds and they never get caught for the whole race for 100 miles. And you're like, what? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. So in a crit, I probably wouldn't attack in the first 15 seconds. I'd still do that too. Not as I do. But in a road race, if you're at the front, I don't know. It seems like a way better shot for me. And especially if you're not going to make the road race course, like if it's not suited to you, it's a great shot.
Might as well give it a shot.
Give it a shot.
That I feel this is an observation. It could be totally wrong. But I feel like in lower category races where there's less organization and experience in the field, I feel like you may have more chance perhaps at that early race break. Mm-hmm. But it's still such a huge gamble. And I feel like the move that everyone's expecting, right?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, everyone's fresh. Everyone's legs feel good.
Right.
But honestly, also for to get a break to work, you actually have to use your teammates, right? So say Kevin's up the road with two or three other guys, like the rest of us are getting a free ride, right? Because the big other teams are trying to close that gap. And right as he's getting caught or right before he gets caught, I or someone else better be throwing another attack, right?
Yeah.
And then so because all these other teams have to use all the energy to bring these guys back, we're technically getting a free ride, right? So I should be a little fresher. So I want to attack over the top of Kevin's breakaway or whoever on the team, right? Definitely use your teammates to make a successful break.
And in the lower category, if you execute the counterattack strategy, it is so effective. It really blows people out of the water.
Yes.
Blows people out of the water.
It blows their minds first, and then they drop out of the back. Yeah. I've been subject to it.
If it's a bunch of individuals, it's essentially everyone's on a one-man team. You know, no one's going to go to the front and try and drive it back because they're going to lose. You know, they're their own teammate. So you just got to hope that everyone is going to contribute back in the bunch and work together, but often that just doesn't work because everyone's looking for an advantage. So
yeah,
I guess in the lower categories, if you are in the breakaway, that's probably a better place to be than in the bunch trying to get everyone to work together.
I guess to round this one out, I'd like to talk about the team responsibilities. So like you have a rider up the road in a breakaway. Is it safe to say that you never want to chase that down? Or no. Are there certain scenarios where you would want to chase that down as a teammate?
I don't know if I'd technically put all my effort in or have the whole team effort chase your own teammate down. But say we got a rider up there with a super, super strong sprinter, or maybe it's two against one or something like that. Like they have two teammates, we have one, and maybe it's not one of our top sprinters, right? So like say Joe is back with us in the field and we have someone else in the break with two strong riders on the same team, like we might put a few guys on the front to like try to bring that back. Like I'm not gonna put all our team eggs in to bring our old teammate back, but if it works, like if we can help another team bring that back or something like that, so just to have the odds back in our field, right? So
I'd also say not like bringing teammate back, but if you have a teammate up in the breakaway, your teammates better be following anybody that's trying to bridge across and discourage that and just sit on and be like, no, I have a guy up the road. So either they're going to drag you up to the breakaway or you're going to discourage them and then go back. And then that breakaway is going to get even a bigger gap if you're just sitting on and be like, nope, I got a guy up there and we go backwards.
Yeah.
I think one of the things is there's a magical place like 15 seconds up the road where you can reshuffle the breakaway without chasing them back, without a whole bunch of work, and then you can kind of get another teammate up or some more people into the breakaway to like new blood, and then sit back off the front and like back it off, and then the breakaway is in a much different place and your teammate might have a way better chance of winning now because you sent someone else up or a teammate up, or now there's six guys and they're not going to let two guys work that like one to it, right?
So you're basically, I mean, you're analyzing the composition of the breakaway to make that sort of choice. Because I see a lot of people that perhaps misunderstand it. They just say, it's an absolute rule. Like, never chase it down, right? But I can't help but think that is an absolute.
I mean, I'm normally one, if, you know, I'm the team captain on that day, to give whoever is in that breakaway a chance. But if they're up there with someone that can sprint better than them, then they have to attack them. Yeah, they can't take them to the line. Yeah. But also, if there's a sprinter up there with your teammate and they're contributing, people sprint differently when they've been working hard all day than if they're fresh. So you may have a chance against someone that normally would beat you because they're more tired and you sprint better when you're fatigued compared to them.
One more thing is if it's a one-on-one, like if it's a sprinter and a breakaway rider, I would call that a 50-50 shot beating the sprinter.
Yeah.
Right? Like a sprinter having to work for a whole race in a breakaway, I would feel great sprinting against them.
Totally.
Yeah. But if it's six guys or eight guys and there's a sprinter in there, that's not what we're talking about. So it's the composition, right?
Yeah.
It always comes down to who's with who and how they're going.
Yeah. A sprinter's MO is to try and conserve as much energy as possible so they can put out that maximum amount of power. But if they've been working super hard all day, then I'm sure they're going to get nowhere near their max power.
Yeah. And just thinking really quickly on the energy system side of things too, I mean, a sprinter is really going to be using that top-end creatine phosphate fuel, right? Like really quickly depleted, that sort of stuff. It can regenerate that sort of thing, but it takes some time. And if you guys, like what you were talking about before, of leaving little gaps, that sort of thing, when they have to snap to close that down, every time they have to snap or any time they have to just rev it up a little higher than they did, it's going to be weakening things.
Yeah.
You can work them over for sure.
And like, for example, when Kevin won Athens Twilight, he was in a three-man breakaway with two of the fastest sprinters in the field, right? Like, he's going to get destroyed at these guys. So five laps to go, they're all still rotating, but then the two sprinters start looking at each other because they're honestly not worried about Kevin, right?
For sure.
So they're just worried about each other, and so they're rotating through. Kevin rotates through, notices when he flicks off that no one's pulling through. He looks back, what, he has a five-foot gap or whatever, and so he just keeps on it, right? Just for the next five laps, and now the sprinters have to work together.
Yeah.
They're worried about each other, but now they have to work what they're not maybe not used to, right? They're getting towed to the line usually, so, and then stays away. So, I mean, you also take advantage of that too.
I feel like sprinters are very one-track minded.
Sure, right? Yeah, exactly.
And the thing is, they wear their strength on their sleeve, so it's usually pretty easy to know who they are and what they're going to do.
Yeah.
But being a more versatile rider is definitely helpful.
You never want to be the guy that makes the second last move.
Yeah,
that's a good way to put it.
Because I mean, if one of those sprinters had pulled the other one up to you, then the second guy would have won, right? Yeah. And vice versa. And they know that, and so they spent their time looking at each other while you were riding away.
Yeah,
yeah.
So yeah, perfect tactic.
That was great, guys. That was a good rule of thumb to end on too, Joe. Don't be the one that does the second last move. I like that. So with that, thanks everybody for joining us. You can head over to forum.trainerroad.com and you can check out the episode, which will be Breakaways with Team Cliff Bar Racing, and you can check that out. I'd encourage you guys to jump into the forum too, because if folks have questions, maybe you guys can answer them.
Sure.
It's a cool spot, tons of conversation. And you can head to Team Cliff Bar Racing, or I should say, I think it's just Cliff Bar Racing on Instagram and on other channels. You can follow the team there. Individually, where can people catch you guys on Instagram or whatever other channels?
Mine's at Connor Malervi with one N in the first name.
Awesome.
I'm also forgotten, at also forgotten, and I'm on the forum all the time. So definitely at Pete on the Trainer Road forums.
Cool.
I'm always happy to talk.
Awesome. Joe?
At JoeLewis1989.
Cool.
And I'll be on the forum. Yeah, that's the year I was born.
Young buck. At K Malervi.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thanks, guys. If you have any questions for these folks, they know they're racing back to front, and they're incredibly strong. They could provide some good insights. So if you have any questions, let us know. Join us on the forum. We'll talk to you all next time. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks. Thank you. Guys.